So today we're talking to the director of our Russian chapter, Elena Panfilova. Elena, thanks for talking to us. I guess in the coming days we're going to hold the next Integrity Awards. Last year we honored Sergei Magnitsky posthumously, and the investigation seems to be progressing. So do you think as more justice, as more comes to light in that case, that will have an impact on how people see the corruption issue in Russia?
Yes, it's 1 year since the award was given to Sergei, and actually on 15th of November there will be some anniversary of him being killed in prison, and prosecutor's office promised to give us some answers to his death. And yes, investigation from one hand is progressing, two doctors are being charged, but it's not only about doctors. We definitely want to see law enforcement officers who put him in prison in the first place, and those prosecutors who kept him there, and judges who kept him there, also to be brought to justice. Otherwise, I mean, there will be no justice done to his name, to his family, to his kids, his mom, and to all everyone who followed him. Because if his death goes unpunished, it sends a very wrong signal to all potential whistleblowers, to all potential activists doing something against corruption, to all those people whom Sergei, unfortunately, through his death, but inspired.
So in Russia, is there a feeling right now among NGOs and activists that it's safe or unsafe to work in Russia and criticize the powers that be?
Definitely, it is not like totally safe. And it's not just unsafe because of powers there, but mostly because those individual corrupt people to whom different activists and different organizations pointing finger to, they're not happy about it because they don't want to lose the possibilities for their illicit enrichment. They don't want to lose their money. They don't want to lose their position. And they're striking back, not because they hate what you say, they're striking back as a protection of this access to illicit enrichment possibilities. Powers also, I mean, powers like to preserve the image that everything is fine and corruption is being taken care of. And of course, when the message of civil society organizations contradicts that, they're not happy. So in general, I mean, I would say that it's not like the safest job possible out there to fight corruption through civic activism in Russia. But from the other hand, I mean, it's I don't think it's more dangerous than work of miners in Russia or other very kind of difficult professions.
And so what are civil society organizations doing in Russia to break that image and to show normal people and get them involved? What's going on?
Quite a lot is being done, and what I like the most, it's absolutely different types of activism. There are people who do research, there are people who engage youth, there are people who themselves monitor procurement, there are people who monitor political corruption ahead of elections. There are absolutely different types of activism because no any organization can do everything, and it's great to see that this activism, and it's rather new thing, comes from all possible directions. It's not anymore just a couple of organizations doing this rather sad and not very successful job, but it's a lot of different types of people coming together from all different walks of life and doing what they can do. Sometimes those things are rather small, but nevertheless, I hope in the long run efficient. It's very important to see quite a lot of people of middle class joining that. Young professionals, business people, people from even like this slightly glamorous journalistic community, they all are kind of trying to do something. And this is, I think, pretty innovative, innovative way of doing civic activism in Russia. And I think that's what authorities particularly don't like. because it's easy to pick on a couple of organizations, but when activism comes from all possible directions, it's very difficult to pick on that.
We saw in so many countries in 2011 the great change you can have when people from all walks of life get involved together in Egypt and India and countries like that. Do you see anything like that happening in Russia in the next year?
No, I don't think we will have anything like that for a lot of reasons. Semi-jokingly, we can say that one of the main reasons reasons is climate. It's nice to protest when it's warm and sunny around, but when it's kind of snowing and minus 20, not too many people are ready to go to whatever Tahrir Square. But seriously speaking, you see, we still the country which can collect pretty serious money out of the trade of oil and gas and distribute it among population. Like some Asian countries and countries like Saudi Arabia did to prevent possible manifestations. So if our authorities will continue doing that, collecting money from oil and gas contracts and more or less evenly, still small money, but evenly distributed among the poorest groups of population, nobody will go protest because still, I mean, everyone will be relatively happy with that. But from other hand, how long that is going to happen, how long that is going to last, how long these budgetary expenses will be in proportion to real expenditures, it's difficult to say, but I don't expect any big mass movement, whatever else, in Russia in coming years.
And was there any one activity or project or innovative thing that a civil society organization did this year that was particularly inspiring, that you think got people interested?
I really like the way our younger activists organize this campaign around new law on police, and younger team of TI Russia and some other organizations, they jointly organize this big public campaign to introduce amendments to the new police law, which will make it more transparent, police service, which will make it more accountable, such as like badge with the name of police officer to wear, the right of the phone call, I mean, the possibility to record the proceedings in police station, and that more or less successfully landed in legislation. What impressed me the most, when the law came to action, they didn't drop it. They continued to monitor how it's being implemented, because you know how it pretty often works with you. They achieve something and they go to some other topic and forget about the previous topic. It wasn't the case this time. What I see the most interesting development is that when the law was adopted and when all those provisions became a law, now they monitor how it's being implemented, and it's relatively unusual for young activists to have that continuity, that sustainability of their interest in public activism. But otherwise, there is quite a lot of things happening in Russia, and of course, I have to say that of course it's pretty much became possible because of new technologies and new media, and definitely that plays very significant role in development of civic activism in Russia, and anti-corruption civic activism included.
Thanks very much, Elena.